Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
America trapped behind enemy lines.
Day number 65.
65. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. 65 days, Americans abandoned behind enemy Taliban lines, and we're getting close to 50 days. Joe Biden doesn't say a word about it. Christopher Steele, I remember the dirty Russian disinformation dossier. It's been debunked. It's been debunked by the source, supposedly, that Steele had. And even according to some reports, even Steele himself with the FBI. None of this has been proven. Magically, if you remember, there's an article. Oh, Christopher Steele deleted his, quote, emails, blah, blah, communications of some sort. How convenient, right out of Hillary Clinton's playbook. Anyway, in spite of all of that, he does a fluffball interview with George Stephanopoulos on ABC saying he doesn't believe the FBI finding that Michael Cohen never went to Prague. Well, Michael Cohen produced his passport and there was never a Prague stamp in his passport. It just so happens, because at the time I had spoken with Michael Cohen, I know exactly where Michael Cohen was. He was with his son, who was being scouted by a Major League Baseball team. It just happens to be the exact time supposedly he was there. I just happen to know that one fact. I've stated it before. Then he says, I'm not prepared to accept, I am prepared to accept that not everything in the dossier is true, except Cohen not going to Prague, and says the P tape probably exists, but it, you know, hasn't needed to be released, which is just a lie in and of itself, too, because there's been no evidence of anything or that Trump was even there, for crying out loud. But he gets to spew these lies even further on ABC. Listen.
One big claim in the dossier, the FBI, according to the Inspector General's report, and Mueller reinforces it, is not true, is the claim that Michael Cohen had a meeting with Russians in Prague. Do you accept that finding, that it didn't happen?
No, I don't.
Michael Cohen has completely turned on Donald Trump. He's accused him of all kinds of things. He's gone to jail. It defies logic that if he did this, he wouldn't say so now.
I don't agree with that. It's self-incriminating to a very great degree.
Since he's gone to prison, since he's turned on President Trump, he's told every single story. Why wouldn't he admit to this?
Because I think it's so incriminating and demeaning. And the other reason is he might be scared of the consequence.
Do you think it hurts your credibility at all that you won't accept the findings of the FBI in this particular case?
I'm prepared to accept that not everything in the dossier is 100% accurate. I have yet to be convinced that that is one of them.
So you stand by the dossier?
I stand by the work we did, the sources that we had, and the professionalism which we applied to it.
Bearing in mind that this was raw intelligence. Raw intelligence in the sense that what we sent over was the initial findings.
Raw intelligence is just that. It's like throwing a lot of stuff against the wall.
All the talk about this alleged tape, I bet you've heard about it, virtually no evidence came forward in public to corroborate it.
It would be quite the tape if it became public, but it's now 5 years later, and we haven't seen a trace of it.
And today, do you still believe that that tape exists?
I think it probably does, but I wouldn't put 100% certainty on it.
So how do you explain if that tape does indeed exist, it hasn't been released?
Well, it hasn't needed to be released.
Why not?
Because I think the Russians felt they'd got pretty good value out of Donald Trump when he was president.
Which is just the opposite of what he said. Anyway, here to react, respond to all of this. I mean, remember, we went through 3 years of this. You got Hillary Clinton. We now know, and we'll find out more with the Durham report, but we now know that this has been debunked. There's no evidence. There's no facts. Nothing. I mean, remember, the FISA warrants were all based on this dirty dossier, and yet there's been none of this dirty dossier that has been proven to be true at all. None of it. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of it debunked. David Schoen, civil liberties attorney, former board member, Alabama Civil Liberties Union. Jordan Seculo is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. He co-hosts with his dad, Jay Seculo Live, wrote the book, The Next Wave, Red Wave. Jordan, has there ever been a single instance in which any part of this dirty Russian misinformation dossier has been proven true?
Absolutely not, Sean. And, you know, we live this. We all live this in different ways. David lived it in his way. You know, we went through, we were President Trump's attorneys during the Mueller investigation, which was based a lot of this on this dossier, the start of Crossfire Hurricane, based off this dossier. You have the salacious stuff like the tape. Does that tape exist? But you also have the bigger claim that Donald Trump was a Russian agent running for president, and then when he won, he was going to be a Russian agent. That was the big claim. That was not just debunked by Trump supporters. That was debunked by the Mueller team. The Mueller team, who was out to get Trump for anything possible, is the team that debunked the entire Steele dossier, which puts into question all the FISA warrants and the repeated renewals of those FISA warrants, which allowed the Obama Department of Justice and FBI to spy on the Trump campaign. And yet Christopher Steele is not right now being resurrected by the mainstream media. So I think we all need to pay attention to that. What purpose would there be? And I think we can all start figuring it out very quickly to resurrect someone like Christopher Steele and try to breathe new life into his
army. So what is your hypothesis? What would be the reason?
I think the reason is that they're still scared to death of Donald Trump. They know that Donald Trump is the major force in Republican politics, and every single poll, doesn't matter if he runs again, he would be the nominee. So they'd have to face that movement again and the midterm elections. This idea of any way to distract the country from the problems of the Biden administration. So instead of talking about China, or instead of talking about supply chain, Sean, or ports, we're talking about Christopher Steele again, and they're putting out a whole documentary about him. And while we haven't yet seen the full documentary, and I'm glad there's some people questioning him in it, I don't trust George Stephanopoulos, a Clinton ally, with really shedding true light on who this guy is.
My belief is that this was all designed to distract from Hillary Clinton's legal problems involving, you know, all of the email server scandal that she was involved in. And then, of course, you know, you smash phones and other items. You know, she's never been held accountable. What's your take on it, David Schoen?
That's a big mistake. If that's the case, then they're really making a big mistake even mentioning Steele again, because remember how he was funded, and that's going to come back to the whole team. You know,
it was funded through Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And she funneled the money through a law firm, Perkins Coie, which hired a research firm, which hired Christopher Steele.
Which has a member of the firm under indictment now, and which has several other former members of the firm who have now left Perkins Coie under investigation, or at least mentioned in the report. Let me say this, a couple things real quickly. Stephanopoulos misses the point, and this is where, you know, Jordan said also, it's a softball interview. You said that earlier. He let Steele get away with saying Michael Cohen probably didn't admit to going to Prague because it's self-incriminating. Michael Cohen cut a deal with the government. Everything he told them was self-incriminating. When a person makes that kind of deal, you want to disclose everything bad you've ever done so that you have coverage from it and can't ever be charged with it. People admit to murders that weren't even known about them before. Those are certainly self-incriminating. So he's missing the point there. Later in the interview, he asked Steele, your sources basically have even dropped the story. They say it's not true. He says, well, sources panic at times. That's the opposite of what happens. The source would want to prove the credibility of its source. Because Steele comes off as a complete amateur. But one of the overriding things that's such a disgrace here is there's zero accountability from the media. You have been saying since day one, Steele had no credibility. There's no basis for this dossier. They all, for years, rammed it down everyone's throat that this is the basis, proper basis for FISA warrants and for going after Donald Trump. It paralyzed the country for years, and now they're starting to ask questions and have to acknowledge because the IG, the FBI, Mueller, all who had great incentive to show that the Steele dossier was true, have all rejected it categorically. So where's the accountability for the media and the harm that they did to the country?
Well, I think there's no accountability. And, you know, as we can see, for example, what happened with Andrew McCabe last Friday. I mean, you know, there were actual referrals for the very crimes that people like Roger Stone were accused of, Jordan. But there wasn't a pre-dawn raid with, you know, 30 guys in tactical gear and frogmen and CNN fake news cameras filming the whole thing over a process crime of lying to Congress. That there were those very same referrals for top echelon within the FBI. Nothing happened. Why?
No, and I think and David pointed out something important, too, which is the people who are getting involved now with the Durham report. I mean, there's also a report out now about Jake Sullivan. So I think that Dave was right. Bringing this back up could be very dangerous for them because it brings back up the Hillary Clinton issue, puts Durham back in the spotlight, what he's been doing, and not just Sussman over who was the Clinton campaign attorney who was also at Perkins Coie, but you've also got Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor. He testified twice to Congress that he didn't even know this opposition research was being done. So not even, he wasn't saying he didn't know details, but he actually flat out denied to Congress once behind doors, once publicly in these last 5 years. And so the question now is, well, if the campaign's lawyer who was taking time from the firm to be that in that position and the top foreign policy guy, how is that possible? So there's a lot of potential here for wrongdoing, not for the people that the mainstream media would like to get, but for the people on the left. Now, I will say this. Christopher Steele makes in this, and because anybody that watched this, I want to make sure they understand this is just such a false line of reasoning. He says, well, I will not believe that my research is wrong until you prove it to me. Well, when you have Mueller, okay, you have the FBI, you have the Inspector General Horowitz, all say they found nothing. That's how you prove it. That is
well,
how you prove
but
it.
Now, Adam There's Schiff no answers now, There's the congenital no liar, you know, corrupt as he is well, I think that Robert Mueller was struggling cognitively. Okay, oh why? Because he didn't come up with the conclusion you wanted?
Andrew Weissman wasn't. I can be clear with that. You know, so the guys who were running the show, he might have been a bit of a figurehead to some extent. His top guys were the guys bringing down Enron. These were tough prosecutors. If they could have found this about Donald Trump, let me tell you, Sean, they would. This was their goal. This was like this would have been their life's work to find this about Donald Trump.
If there was a tape, the tape would have been released. There is no tape, and it's odd how I happen to know. That, you know, if Michael Cohen had been to Prague, wouldn't his passport have been stamped? You just don't get to walk into a country and not have your passport stamped, do you?
Absolutely not. And to try and hide that, Sean, I mean, the amount of steps it would take for someone who's cooperated with the government and has, you know, cut their deals and gone to prison, the amount that he'd have of work he'd have to do to cover up a foreign trip with foreign nationals and to a point where our government and all of our intelligence could never figure that out, give me a break. Christopher Steele's a liar, but I do get concerned when they bring him back up. I hope that Dave is right, that this turns on them because it brings back up Hillary and the emails. And
well, I just basically, for the most part, unfortunately, Jordan, given up hope. I mean, Durham should have had his report out, you know, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
I agree.
Low-hanging fruit that existed in Michael Horowitz's Inspector General report was, you know, information aplenty to indict people. David.
You're right. But listen, the bigger picture here even is FISA system is broken. Christopher Steele proves it beyond any question of a doubt. But what's going to be done about it? You know, look at what they did to the country for those years. Look how many millions of dollars, how much time was wasted. And still, the administration got so much done on their agenda. Imagine if it hadn't been this hoax going on for these years and stuff. Christopher Steele is the epitome of what went wrong for all of those years. There has to be a fix for the system.
Okay, what's the fix? There's no stopping them. Nobody's been held accountable. If anything, everybody involved, David, is more emboldened than ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had hoped, you know, that Mr. Durham would have done more, and maybe he will. Who knows? But, you know, it's very difficult when the mainstream media takes a position. What's going to happen is you're going to have to keep putting out your message to the millions and millions of listeners who grow every day, I hope, who follow your show and listen to what you say, because you have been right and you've been proven right.
Proven right again and again. Jordan, last word, 30 seconds.
People like Trump, who, whether it's Trump or not, people who are willing to take on that Washington, D.C. system, because like you said, the swamp has not yet been fully drained. He started it. President Trump started it. His team did. They paid the consequences for doing that. So we've got to either him or someone like him can continue that work and finish the job.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Jordan Sekulow, David Schoen, good to have you both back.
Once again, Pure Talk, my sponsor and my wireless company, they're investing in their customers out of their own pocket without charging an extra penny. And I'm really happy to announce that Pure Talk is now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. That's right. As you plan your summer travel, make sure that your wireless provider has you covered at home and abroad. Pure Talk already puts you on America's most dependable 5G network, and now they're giving you coverage in over 50 countries as well. You get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. That's less than half the price of the big carriers Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile for the exact same service. Now bring your phone or get great savings on the latest iPhones and Androids. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today. That's puretalk.com/Sean. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. Make the switch to Pure Talk so you can afford to travel this summer.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We'll take your calls this half hour. We were speaking towards the end of the last half hour with Hope in Ohio. Hope is a college student, and she's dealing with, indoctrination in college and professors that are trying to take basically you have a captive audience. You got students. They have to be there. They have to take these classes if they want to get their degree. Okay. Then they force their political opinions upon them. So I have a couple of questions. What are you studying in? If you want to tell what school you go to, you can. You don't have to. What are you studying? And if you want to tell what school you go to, tell us.
I'm a communication studies major with minors in public relations and educational studies. And this was a PR class. I'm not going to say specifically what school I go to because there are
not many
people with my name.
So here's the question I have, Hope. Mm-hmm. What do you know at this point? I don't know what grade you're in. What year are you in?
I'm a junior.
Okay, so you're going to graduate at the end of next year. Do you have a strong feeling for what your calling in life is, what you want to do with the rest of your life?
I've been starting to lean towards wanting to possibly do something either like in politics or fashion, so like along the PR aspect.
Is there anything that would require a more advanced degree that you're thinking about now?
Most likely not.
You see, this is where, if you made the decision, for example, I'll talk to some students, they want to go to medical school, or they want to go to law school, or they want to get into business school or a master's program or whatever it happens to be. And one bad grade can literally tilt the balance in a very competitive marketplace, especially for good schools, right? So I would say to them, just play the game. Just know that they're full of crap. They've got an agenda. It's a class that's required. You know, just regurgitate mm-hmm. back like a good little Marxist, whatever it is they're putting in your head. But just know that it's all BS and they've got an agenda and you just need to get your grade and move on with your life, right? There's no shame in that to me. The second thing is, or you can fight them, but let me warn you, and I have speak from experience, is that if you battle them and you confront them, then the odds are probably pretty high that they'll penalize your grade.
Correct. Yeah, he actually went around our class today and started asking each one individually, like, our opinions. And I told him, he started going on about vaccines and how he couldn't understand why people wouldn't do it, started guilt tripping us with a story about how he had a student who got COVID, gave it to her grandma, then her grandma died. So I said to him, I believe it's between someone and their doctor, their own personal choice. There's no one size fits all medicine, and that even Biden and Harris, when the vaccine first came out under Trump, they were very adamant about, like, don't trust it. And he straight up told me I was wrong. So
yeah, the ship is now sailed. He's identified you as somebody that is not easily indoctrinated. Look, it doesn't really, if you want to go into fashion or any of the things that you're mentioning, none of this probably in the end is going to matter. I'm assuming you're probably a good student. You probably have a good GPA. Maybe you can even still take the class pass fail. I don't know. I will say this. You know, my son's out of school. He played the game. My daughter is in mm-hmm. school. She tells me these stories. I just crack up laughing. And I don't let my kids use my last name because it doesn't help them in life. But the reality is, as long as, don't ever change this part of you that you're describing to us. And that is that you're willing to think for yourself, make your own decisions, and fearlessly stand by your beliefs and not live your life, you know, as a cookie cutter, you know, socially pressured, need to be accepted, never rock the boat type of person. Because you want to be who you are. You want to be, the more you can be an individual in life, the happier you're going to be, the more self-actualized you're going to be. And you're going to find that you draw to you people that think like you, and you're going to find a better quality of friends in the course of all of this. And it's going to work out in ways you never dreamed of. Because there are also going to be people that you meet that like your views, like your individuality, mm-hmm. admire your courage, and will want to be in business with you because of it. So it works both ways.
Right.
All right. So hang in there. Don't let not your heart be troubled. College, frankly, to me, is mostly a waste of time. Unless you're studying sciences or something very, very specific, a lot of these degrees, and I don't want to burst people's bubbles here. You know, you think, oh, I've got my degree in communications. All right, well, go get a job in communications and come back and tell me how it works out. So there, but, you know, if you really have a specific educational goal to be a teacher, to be a lawyer, to be a doctor, you know, something that goes deep into the economy or finance or something like that, I just don't think it has the value that most people put on it. Hope, God bless you. Keep us in the loop, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Angie is in Kansas City. Angie, how are you? Glad you called.
I'm great. Thanks for taking the time to take my call, Sean.
Thank you.
So the reason I'm calling is I was listening to T-Bone when you were talking to him on Friday, and it reminded me of something that has been weighing on our family. I have a bonus daughter who is 26, my stepdaughter, and she has one child and has been on the fence about getting the vaccine because she's 26 and wants to have a second child or potentially have a second child. We're all rooting for one, obviously, extra grandbaby. But there has not been studies on the reproduction and the effect that the vaccine can have on reproduction.
I'll tell you the one thing that I can say is, because I can play doctor, I just don't know enough.
That's our issue. I'm vaccinated.
The one thing I can say that gives me the most hope, separate and apart from this whole question of vax or not vax, is that I'm very hopeful. And the reason that I keep talking about monoclonal antibodies is I want everybody in this audience to be very aware of it. With breakout cases and with people that are not vaccinated still getting positive COVID results, we had more people die in 2021 than 2020. Mm-hmm. I want this audience to be able to ask your doctors individually intelligent questions. So if you get a breakthrough case or you're not vaccinated, get COVID, I want you to immediately contact your doctor. And when you ask, what are your thoughts on monoclonal antibodies? How do you feel about Regeneron? Would I qualify for that? Do you believe that as a therapeutic would be extremely helpful to me? I want this audience to be aware that is like the it's the most underreported part of this entire pandemic in my mind. I had somebody that I know late last week with cancer that in the middle of chemotherapy, that contracted COVID and got the Regeneron infusion. And on Sunday was walking in some breast care fundraising event or running in some breast care fundraising event. So I've only seen nothing, especially taken early, but success anecdotally. And you ask your doctor. So talk to you, you know, have her ask her doctor. I'm 26. I'm healthy. Do you see any anecdotal evidence about risk on fertility issues? And if I did get it, how do you feel about monoclonal antibodies? Okay, if I did get the vaccine, what do you think of the mRNA Pfizer Moderna versus the Johnson & Johnson shot? These are all smart questions that everybody needs to be asking their doctors. And then ultimately, you're going to have to make the decision yourself. But I understand it's a dilemma. You know, I think they can't rush time,
no matter what they say. They cannot rush that time factor. And that's the part I think that's irritating me is you've got these nurses, supposed nurses, they're probably actors, saying that they're 100% safe and everything else. And it's just, you can't say that. It's not true. Nobody knows that.
Listen, I mean, when we were told when they were pushing this vaccine on everybody was told, if you get the vaccine, you're protecting yourself and your family and your loved ones. And then it turns out, no, you're not, apparently. Now there are breakthrough cases. And while initially it shows that hospitalizations are much lower, the death rate is much lower. What about the next variant? What about the variant after that variant? You know, we keep hearing about the Lambda variant, the Mu variant. We haven't heard much about that lately. The R.1 variant, you know, all these variants are out there. And there are even doctors suggesting that heavy vaccination results in more variants. I'm just not a scientist, so I don't know.
And then you're supposed to mix and match the boosters now? You're not even supposed to mix and match shampoo and conditioner. I mean, come on. Something is
actually
just
a funny line.
It just doesn't make sense.
I really, really sympathize. Everyone's going to have to make their own decision on this. What I am trying to do is, number one, I've seen the worst of it. Take it seriously. Also, research. Agreed. When you do research, and these idiots in the media think I'm talking about putting on a white lab coat and trying to break down the sequence and genomes of the coronavirus, they're so stupid. Research, what is an mRNA virus? What are monoclonal antibodies? What are the other therapeutic protocols of some very smart doctors, even if you disagree? And then you could talk to your doctor based on your unique medical history and current condition and say, well, what do you think about me? And if I didn't get vaccinated and I got COVID, okay, how do you feel about Regeneron, monoclonal antibodies? You know, you're now asking more sophisticated and smarter questions, right? And that's what I'm trying to urge people to do. These people playing doctor on radio, TV, and in Washington scare the hell out of me. Because that's right. They only believe in one size fits all medicine. I don't believe in that. All right, back to our busy phones. Tim in Utah. Tim, you're on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hello, Sean. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Very good. Congratulations on 25 years, brother. You've done a great job, and we appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate your support and being here every day. I can't do it without you, my friend.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment. We've, of course, nobody likes the mandates or anything, but yet here in Salt Lake City area, there's been two churches that have come out and said that they're for the vaccine and that they will not even give you the religious waivers for exemption. The Mormon Church or LDS Church, as well as the Catholic Diocese, has come out and said that they would not. So it's like it's taking it one step further with the demands of what the government wants. And I just wanted to kind of get your take on that.
Well, I guess that's up to the church and it's up to people if they want to accept. I didn't know that religious leaders had such great insight into science that they feel qualified to make a broad sweeping generalization like that. I personally do believe in something called the First Amendment. That's freedom of religion. I think the New York court got it right on religious exemptions. And if people especially are willing to get tested to protect other people every day and companies are willing to give them the test every day, that at least seems like an option that should be given to people that for whatever reason, you know, we've done this with conscientious objectors not wanting to go to war, et cetera. It makes sense to me, right? And it's been deemed legal in the past.
Absolutely. I just think it's ironic that one group says that, you know, having a cup of coffee is bad for you. But taking the jab is okay. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, I don't really know if I want to go to a church one day and get a lecture from a pastor that knows nothing about science on. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, the reality is it's not even a question anymore of having this debate about getting the vaccine, not getting the vaccine. Everyone's kind of made up their mind. I'm not convincing anybody, and I'm not even taking a position. I'm just telling people to be smart and talk to their own doctors and do their own research and be smart about it. And I think now it's now gone in an entirely different direction that people have decided they're not doing it. And unless you just pin them down or you have government bureaucrats pinning them down, they've made their decision right or wrong. And I don't think anybody else at this point that is going to say is going to convince them. They've heard from everybody and they've made up their minds. Most people that I have talked to that decide not to get vaccinated, they can give you chapter and verse on why they made their decision. It's pretty interesting, actually. All right. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.